Okay, most chitim may seem like a little bit of a strange topic because it's when you're thinking about preparing for Pesach, it's probably not the first thing on your mind, but it was the first thing on the Ramah's mind because the very first halacha in Hilchos Pesach in Siman Tav Chav Tes Se'if Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Sholin b'Hilchos HaPesach Kodem l'Pesach Shloshim Yom, and the Ramah, first comment of the Ramah, U'minag liknos chitim l'chalkon la'aniyim l'tzarech Pesach. So we have a minag to buy chitim, to buy wheat, in order to give it out to aniyim for the sake of Pesach. And the Ramah just adds one detail, v'kol mi shadar b'ir, yud beis chodesh, tzarech liten l'zeh. If you live in the city for 12 months, then you're obligated to give to the Ma'os Chitim Fund. A lot of times people get very excited about the mitzvah Matanos Levyonim and not as excited about Ma'os Chitim. You should realize, for Matanos Levyonim, you're trying to provide someone with Sudas Purim, which essentially could be done with $4, you could buy a tuna fish sandwich, and you could be yotzei the mitzvah of Sudas Purim. You're buying, you're giving Ma'os Chitim, you're trying to provide somebody with what they need for the mitzvah of matzah, and not to eat chametz, to be able to have things that are kosher l'Pesach. It's significantly more expensive to do so, so it's a very critical thing. And clearly the idea of Pesach in general, and the idea of the Leila Seder, is to express to our families, to our children, the backbone of Judaism, what Yiddishkeit is all about, the history and the destiny of the Jewish people. You know, one of the Rav Zalman Soroskin writes in his Haggadah, he says, you wonder in the story of the various Tanaim that were sitting there in being Mesaper B'tzias Mitzrayim Kol Oso HaLayla Ad Shabo Talmideihem, till the Talmidim came and said, Higiyazman Kriya Shema Shachris. Why did the Talmidim first come in the morning? Why weren't the Talmidim there all night? So Rav Zalman Soroskin says, because the Talmidim were with their families, because that's where you're supposed to be on Pesach. You're not supposed to be with your Rebbe. It's all about being v'gadta levincha, telling your children. A person is supposed to be with their families on Pesach. So we're trying to express to our families, to our children, the ideas of what it means to be a Jew. So how do we start? We start with Kol Dichvin, Kol Ditzrich. We start by teaching about Chesed. We start by teaching about taking care of other people, taking care of other Jews. There's a significant emphasis on Bein Adam L'Chavero when it comes to Judaism in general, when it comes to halacha, when it comes to mitzvos. Mitzvos Bein Adam L'Chavero are more difficult to do tshuva for than mitzvos Bein Adam L'Makomar. Mitzvos Bein Adam L'Chavero make up half a Torah. It is a very critical element of our religion, and we emphasize it from the very beginning of the Seder and the very beginning of Hilchos Pesach. And probably part of the reason that we do that at the Seder is that in order to understand what it means to appreciate what aniyim are going through, a person has to himself experience that as well. Meaning, chayav adam liros es atzmo, a person has to see himself as if he's poor, as if he's a slave, as if he's going through difficult times, and then we're more equipped to do chesed with others who are going through difficult times. There's something in psychology called the perspective gap. That if a person, you know, if let's say my wife or one of my children is under the weather and they can't, my wife can't go to work or my children can't go to school because they're under the weather. So it's like, you know, all right, get over it. You know, I just feel better, okay? You know, I just, anything I could do for you, I don't really want to do anything, but anything I could do for you, just let me know. But like there's a certain lack of understanding of just how ill they feel until I catch it. And then once I catch whatever they have, then I'm like, how come people aren't having more rachmanis on me? You know, this feels so awful. This is like, because when a person experiences something, they're more able to relate to what others are experiencing at the same time. And that's part of the idea of what we're trying to accomplish at the Seder. So we invite in the aniyim as we ourselves are experiencing avdus. We invite in those who are going through difficult times, and then we're going to be more capable of relating to them. So I thought it would be kedai to talk a little bit about the minhag of Ma'os Chitim, minhag or mitzvah or whatever you want to call it. We'll see what's the more appropriate thing to call it of Ma'os Chitim. Where does the Ramah get this idea from? Very first halach in Hilchos Pesach, where does it come from? Is Yerushalmi in Maseches Bab Basra, in the first parak of Bab Basra. If you ever learn Bavli Bab Basra, so the Talmud Bavli in the first parak of Bab Basra discusses many in Yanim of Tzedakah. And the Yerushalmi in the first parak of Bava Basra also talks about the idea of giving wheat to aniyim for Pesach. So anyone that lives in a city for 12 months, Amar Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbon, l'chitei ha-Pesach ben lisa ben litein, if you want to be a participant in kimcha de pischa, the Yerushalmi says, you have to, whether it be on the giving end or on the receiving end, you have to live in the city for 12 months. Meaning the assumption is that this was a chiyuv on the city, that in every city they had to have a kimcha tepischa fund, they had to have a mos chitim fund, and if you want to be in, if a person is an ani and he wants to receive from that fund, he has to live there for 12 months. If we're going to be mechayiv someone to give to that fund, he also has to be there for 12 months. And in fact, the Magen Avraham writes this in Shulchan Aruch Tav Chav Tes, Sif Katan Beis. He says that when the Rama says that only anyone who lives there in for 12 months has to give, the Magen Avraham says, Hu adina ani hadar po yud beis chadish mechayavim liten lav. That's the definition of an ani that you would have to give to as well, someone who's been here for 12 months. But then the Magen Avraham comments that an ani she'enu darpo lamed yom, if someone has only been here for 30 days, for way less than 12 months, then mechiyavim litin lo lechol matzah, el she'enu son lochitim. Then the Magen Avraham says, the chiyuv is different. We don't give wheat then we give matzah. Now this seems a little bit odd. It seems like a strange comment that the Magen Avraham has. Someone who's an ani, who lives in my town, and who's my responsibility, and who's really a member of this community, so I have to give him wheat. What does he do with the wheat? I don't know. Good luck. Here's your wheat. Figure it out. But someone who's been here for a short time and is not really so much my achrayas because he's not really a ben ear over here, what do I have to give him? Matzah. I have to give him ready-baked matzah. It seems a little bit odd that it seems incongruous that you would give someone who you're more responsible for something that's not as ready to eat and not as good as giving him the prepared item. So in general, that requires a little bit of a further analysis. It seems counterintuitive that that should be the halacha. So I think in order to analyze this properly, it's important to take a step back and look at what the idea of kimcha depischa is in perspective. Meaning, what is the yesod of this chiyuv? What sort of mitzvah is kimcha depischa a fulfillment of? Now, it seems like a very clear-cut answer. What are you fulfilling when you give poor people something that they need? So what mitzvah is that? It sounds a lot like another mitzvah in the Torah, the mitzvah of tzedakah. So it seems like it should be a din tzedakah. In fact, the Chok Yaakov in the Shulchan Aruch in Tav Chav Tes, Chok Yaakov writes, you know, all this discussion, Yud Beis Chodesh, how long he's there? Whether he's there for 12 months, for 30 days. Chok Yaakov says, Im Daito Lishtakeya, if he moves into a town and he plans on staying there, then it's ki'ilu, he's been there, Yud Beis Chodesh. Why doesn't the Rama say that? Why doesn't anyone say that in Hilchos Pesach? Why doesn't the Magen Avraham say? Why doesn't anyone mention this halacha? So Chok Yaakov says, because you open up a Yerideya, and you open up Hilchos Tzedakah, and you see that that's enough in a halacha, in Yerideya, in Hilchos Tzedakah, that who's obligated to give toward the communal Tzedakah funds. I realize it may sound a little bit like Chinese. What do I mean, communal Tzedakah funds? Everyone has a chiv to give Tzedakah. What are we talking about? Communal tzedakah funds. It used to be, and really it should be in an ideal setting, that there are certain chovos on individuals that also have a parallel chovos hatzibur. There's some mitzvos where there's two parallel chiyuvim. There's a chovos hayachid and a chovos hatzibur. Take, for example, nichum avelim. How does one fulfill the mitzvah of nichum avelim? So I know how I fulfill the mitzvah of nichum avelim. I go to the Beis Avel, and I read the card from Misaskim that's in the, behind the Avel, and hopefully I get the Ashkenazi one, so I know what I'm saying. And I know the words pretty much. The Sephardi one's actually easier. It's only three words. But I say the nichum avelim to the Avel, and I'm kind of the mitzvah of nichum avelim. Sort of. That's definitely true. That's my chovas hayachad of nichum avelim. But what happens? You ever go to a levaya? You go to a cemetery, and then they bury the mace. And then what happens? Everyone is only Bishura. They stand in a row, and they make two rows, and the Avel walks through the row, and everyone in unison, Hamakom Yenachim, everyone in unison says Hamakom Yenachim. What's that all about? And that we only do, the Gemara says, if you have a minyan. You don't do a shura with Pachs Me'asar, with less than a minyan. Why? What do I need a minyan for Nichum Avelim? Do I have to look around when I go be Menachem Avel somebody? I always like to be Menachem Avel. I never like to be Menachem Avel. But when I'm being Menachem Avel, I prefer to do it during the daytime rather than at night. Why during the daytime? Because at night, I don't work for a living. I mean, I teach, so I'm able to get out in the middle of the day when no one else is in the base Avel, so I can actually talk to the Avel in the middle of the day. You go at night and it's crowded. So is there a Havamina that I have to look around and say, wait, there's no minyan here. I can't be Menachem in the Avel? No, there's no such hava. I mean, of course it could be Menachem and Avil when there's no minyan. So what's this whole idea of Ashura ba'asara? What you see is that there's a chovas hayachid of Nicham Avelim, and there's a chovas hatzibur of Nicham Avelim. And those are two independent chiyuvim. You have this when it comes to being Malamed Torah as well. The halacha is that father is mechuyav to teach his children Torah. That's his chovas hayachid. He has an individual chiyuv to teach his children Torah. But Chazal instituted that Rabbi Shimon Gamla, Zachra Shel Tov, the Gemara says in Bab Basra that we remember Rabbi Shimon Gamla came up with this great idea. He saw that Misha Yeshlo Av, Aviv Malamdo Torah. Misha Einlo Av, someone who had a father, his father would teach him Torah. And if he didn't have a father to teach him Torah, father was Nam Aretz, so a father didn't exist or whatever, so he ended up not learning. So Shimon Gamla says, wait, I have an idea. Why don't we start yeshivos? Why don't we start a place where you could bring the children and someone else will teach them Torah? And they made it up. So first his idea was, we'll set one up in Yerushalayim. And everyone from all over the place will have to bring the child to bring the children to Yerushalayim, and that's when they learn Torah. Then they realized, well, Mishesh Lo Av, someone who had a father to bring him to Yerushalayim would learn Torah. And someone who didn't have a father to bring him to Yerushalayim couldn't learn Torah. So they said, that's not going to work anymore. Tosfos asked the Kasha, what's the Havamina? What are they thinking? So Tosfos says they thought it would only be possible to be Malami Torah in Yerushalayim. Kimitzion Teitzei Torah. That only with the ruchnius of Yerushalayim are you going to be able to be Malami Torah properly in such an environment. That was the Hava Amina. It's an interesting Tosfos in Bava Basra. That's what Rav Rosenzweig, I'm in his chair right now, so I might as well. Rav Rosenzweig once said, when we're talking about choosing a school for your children, he said that Tosfos should be a guide. Because what Tosfos is telling you is that a ruach of Yiras Shemayim in a place is critical. That when you look at the frumest kid in the school, is he by definition the biggest nerd in the school? Or is he maybe even cooler, maybe even looked up to because he's the frumest kid in the school? Meaning, is there a general ruach? He didn't say it that way. He wouldn't. But is there a general ruach of Yiras Shemayim in the school? If there's a general ruach of Yiras Shemayim. So, but Rabbi Shimon Gamla said, so he made a takana, b'chol yir v'yir, b'chol pelech u'pelech, you have to set up melamdei tinokos, moshiv melamdei tinokos. Kind of chiyuv. A father has a chiyuv to teach a son Torah. And everyone has to support it. Yeah, it's a chovas hatzibur. Whether you are a parent of a child who needs that education or not, even if someone doesn't have children or someone's children are adults, it's a chovas hatzibur to make sure that there's infrastructure, that there are yeshivos. So we have certain things that are chovas hayachin and chovas hatzibur. Tzedakah was no different. That kol yirvir, the Rambam writes, you need to have a tamchoy shel tzedakah. Every city has to have a tamchoy shel tzedakah. If nani comes to me, I'll give him tzedakah. I'll make sure I give meiser. I'll do everything I have to do for tzedakah. I mean, every city has a chiyuv of tamchoy shel tzedakah. No, but there's a chovas hayachid of tzedakah, and there's a chovas hatzibur of tzedakah. It's not enough that I fulfill my personal obligation. The community has to see to it that there's a communal infrastructure of tzedakah, that there's some sort of program by which people know where to go to get the tzedakah and where to go to distribute tzedakah. So that's what a lot of the discussion is about. So one of the, so the Chak Yaakov mentions in the Shulchan Aruch, if you want to know why it is that the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham, the Ramah and the Magen Avraham don't mention in Hilchos Pesach that if a person moves to town and is daito lishtakeh, I mean, he plans to stay there for good, that such a person is already eligible for kimcha de pischa, so says the Chak Yaakov, he doesn't have to say it because it already says it in Yaradeya. It already says it in Hilchus Tzedakah, that someone who's daito lishtakeh Hashem, he's subject to the rules of the town of Tzedakah. And there are rules of the town. There are, because people in the town have to take care of each other. That's part of the Chavas Hatzibur, of taking care of the people in your town. So that is, so the Chak Yaakov is clearly indicating that this is a mitzvah of Tzedakah. The question then begs itself, it's in the wrong section of Shulchan Aruch. I mean, why does this Ramah appear in Or Chaim? It doesn't appear in Yeradeya. If it's a halacha in Hilchos Tzedakah, it should appear in Yeradeya. It should appear maybe in both places, but at least in Yeradeya if it's a din in Hilchos Tzedakah. What other possibility is there? What kind of din this is other than a din of Tzedakah? So there are two other possibilities, I think. A second possibility, the Makor Chaim in the Shulchan Aruch, it's quoted in Oros HaPesach, I saw a quote, writes that Hatamu dechiti de pischa havi kemas. He says this whole thing about 30 days and a year, and it's because chiti de pischa, giving maos chitim, is like a tax on the community. There are certain things that when you live in a town, So we pay taxes. What do we pay taxes for? What do our taxes go for? Garbage pickup and paving the streets and doing all the things that we need, a police force to protect us and all the different things that people require that service the community and every member of a community. It's like if you live in an apartment building. So who pays for the electricity in the hallway, for the lights to be changed in the hallway? So you pay a certain maintenance fee. Who pays for the garden in front of the building? You pay a maintenance fee because everyone is a shutuf in that area and everyone needs certain services that the building will provide. So everyone pays toward that. Well, the same is true in a city level. Rav Schachter often points out that people who think, you know, based on the Ran and the Darim, they like to quote the Ran and the Darim, that anyone who lives in Eretz Yisrael doesn't have to pay taxes. He says, I was talking about, first of all, we don't pass like the Ran, he says. In Shulchan Aruch, we don't pass like that Ran. But everyone knows that that's the one Ran in the Darim that people know. But we know, A, we don't pass like the Ran. But second of all, even if we did pass like the Ran was talking about if you have a king who wants to impose a tax to pad his treasury or whatever, to add to his wallet. But we're not talking about when the taxes are going to pay for you, for things that you need, for the roads that you're going to drive on, for the garbage that's going to be picked up for your protection, for your police. That's the sugya. Those are the sugyas in the first paragraph of Basra, where the Gemara talks about paying for the chomas ear, for the migdal ear, for all of the protection that a city needs. That's a din in a shutvus, that a person, the community can tax people to pay for things that the city needs. And everyone is obligated to pay that tax. So maybe Kimcha de Pischa is not a din in tzedakah as much as it is a din of a mass, of a tax on the community. In fact, the Darkei Moshe in the bottom of the Torah in Siman Tov Chav Tes, when he quotes this din of Kimcha de Pischa, he writes, Kosov Ba'or Zerua, Minaka Kihilos Lahasim Mas Al HaKahal Litzorachitim Litin B'Pesach La'aniyin. It was a tax. There's a big difference if something's a tax or something is a din of tzedakah. There's maybe more room for deciding on your own who you're going to give to, how much you're going to give by tzedakah than there is by a tax. By a tax, it's levied on you that you are of this income bracket or however they decide the tax or whether they want to make it a flat tax across the board, whatever their political affiliations are, if they're Tea Party people or whatever they're going to decide, you pay the tax. And where do you pay the tax to? You pay the tax to the people running the fund, and they'll decide where it goes to. But maybe it's a din in a tax, and it makes sense that that's why it would be a din of 12 months and not a din of 30 days. Where are the halachos of taxes on a community? Hilchos tzedakas in Yaradeya. Where are the halachos of taxes on a community? So that's in Chosh Mishpat. It's in Kuf Samach Gimel. In Chosh Mishpat, talks about all the things you have to pay for. How you have to pay for it, the Shulchan Aruch says in Kuf Samach Gimel Sefal, Kofin Bnei Ir Zeh Lasos Choma, Dosayim of Riach Le'ir. You have to pay for the wall around the city, for the lock on the wall of the city. Livnos on Beis HaKnesses. Everyone's got to pay for a shul. They can tax people, impose a building fund to pay for the shul. Likros Sefer Torah Nevi Meksuvim. Every shul needs a Sefer Torah, and they need proper Svarim. Kadesh Shiyakrabem, Kol Mishiyir. It's a minute Hebrew. They need a library that people should be able to learn from. That people should be able to learn from Sfarim, and everyone should pay for it. And says Ramavu, Hu Adin Kol Tzarchei Ha'ir, all the needs of the city, and we could be kofel lahachnis orchim. The Rama says that we could impose on people that you have to join the rotation of the Achnasas Orchim committee to be able to host guests. A lot of times people get they misunderstand what Achnasas Orchim is. People think that the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim is I find my friend who I like to hang out with, and instead of him eating at his house, he'll eat at my house and we'll have a good time together. And that's the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim. Maybe a partial kiyum, and maybe a remnant somehow of the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim. The real mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim is finding people who need a place. That's Achnasas Orchim. Someone who could actually needs a place to eat, needs a place to stay. Someone who maybe doesn't have so many friends. Someone who maybe doesn't have people to invite them. This past Shabbos was a great opportunity. Someone invited us for a Shabbos meal. Baruch Hashem, we do have friends, I think. But someone invited us for a Shabbos meal and said to my wife, "Who else is home for Pesach? I only want to invite people who are home for Pesach because I'm going away for Pesach." and people are home for Pesach, the last thing I need is the additional hassle of having to worry about Shabbos food on Shabbos Gadol, on the Shabbos before Pesach, the additional expense even of Shabbos food on the Shabbos before Pesach, just to host people on Shabbos. That's Hachnasas Arachim, by thinking about who needs, who can use it, not just who I like to hang out with, who I like to have a good time with. That has nothing to do with Hachnasas Arachim. That has to do, hanging out with your friends is nice. It's a nice thing to do, to have chevra, but that has nothing, let's call the spade a spade. It's not Hachnasas Arachim. So the Ramah says we could be kofa for Hachnasas Arachim as well, because if you live in a city, and when, at what point do you become a ben ear for that? So says Shulchan Aruch and Siv Beis in Choshen Mishpat Sim Kuf Samach Gimel, Kol Ador Bi Ear Yud Beis Chodesh. Anyone who lives in a city for 12 months, or is Kana Beis Diran, is Daitel Lishtake Hashem, he buys a house and he plans on staying there for a while. So that becomes a ben ha'ir. So it sounds very much from the Ramah that not only is this not an Orach Chaim issue, it's not even a Yaradeya issue. It's a Choshen Mishpat issue. It's a din in taxes. It has nothing to do with Orach Chaim or Yaradeya. In fact, it would turn out that there are certain limitations of tzedakah that maybe don't apply over here if this is about a tax. You know, Rabbi Yaakov Emden in Maror Ketziah says he doesn't understand. Remember the question we started with, that the Magen Avraham says that if you only live in the town for a short period of time, the Ani only lives in the town for a short period of time, so give him matzah, don't give him wheat. We said, that's very strange. Why would you give him something better if he's less of a ben ha'ir? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes, "Hadvarim matmiim v'chara yitziva ba'ara giura b'shmei shemaya." We take the citizen of the town and we shove him down, and we take the guy who was just passing through, and we raise him up, and we treat him better than we treat our own citizens. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, "No, there are two say dinim over here. There are two different dinim over here. There's din of tzedakah, and the din of tzedakah is that if someone needs a meal, you give him a meal. You give him what he needs to eat. He goes to the Tamchui provides him with what he needs to eat for today. And that's a regular din of tzedakah, and that's limited by the dinim of tzedakah. Meaning we can't force you to really give to a particular person. You choose who to give to. You give X, as much as he needs for today. We can't tell you exactly how much to give. And that's the general din of tzedakah. Kimchut d'piskah is beyond that. That's a mass. That's an additional tax. Of course, whoever needs, you always have a mitzvah of tzedakah. This is beyond that. So it's saying, when we're saying that we give wheat to people who are here for 12 months, we're saying the additional chiyuv beyond the mitzvah of tzedakah, that we tax people and force them to give, that's only for people that are here for 12 months. So it's not that we're treating the citizens on a lower level. Of course the mitzvah of tzedakah applies. Ani yir chakodmin. The mitzvah of tzedakah would apply to them before it would apply to anyone else. But it would also be limited if it were only tzedakah. You'd only have to supply them with what they need for today. Kimcha d'piskah, you supply them with a whole week worth of, with a whole Pesach worth of food. You supply them with everything that they're going to need for Pesach. It's a very, very big mitzvah. It's a very big undertaking also, because it's a very expensive. It's a very expensive time. There's a guy in my shul who owns a supermarket. And there are a couple of businesses that if you're in these businesses, the demands for tzedakah on you are overwhelming, because people assume, oh, it's free for you, so it's no problem. If you're in the food business, like, the whole world tells you, oh, but there's aniyim merudim that need food, so you got to give it away for free. So, and it's free for you anyway, because you're in the food business. So the demands are like overwhelming, and like, you're in business to make, you know, you go out of business if you just gave it away for free to everybody. To everybody you ask. The food business, the clothing business also, people who sell like nice clothing, suits and things like that, they need clothing for Yantiv. But if you respond, you just give everything away for free. And the guy came over to me, I mentioned this in shul, the guy said, I'm in the chair business, I sell chairs. That's also, everyone said, but it's for a shul. Well, who do you think I sell chairs to? I sell chairs to shuls. That's how I stay in business. But this fellow told me that he got a call from a Rebbe, that he knows a Rebbe in the yeshiva, and the Rebbe said that I have a son who's a Rosh Yeshiva, and he's a Talmud Chacham, and he needs food for Pesach. So he says, okay, just tell him to come to my store. He respected this Rebbe very much. Tell him to come to my store, and he could take whatever he wants, and I'll tell the manager, and we'll give him what he needs. So the guy sent his Talmidim, go Pesach shopping for him in the store, and this the fellow who owns the supermarket gets a call from his manager. They rang up a $3,000 bill. He was expecting $1,000, $1,500, $3,000 bill. He wasn't sure. That was his shayla. Was he mechuyev to pay the full $3,000? Because he told him that. So he called up the Rebbe. He said, $3,000? What's he buying? Well, my son has 15 children. He said, well, maybe that should have been part of the conversation, you know, originally when we first spoke about it. Maybe the 15 children would have been nice to know about. But it's an expensive thing. If it's a mass, it's a mass to cover the expenses for Pesach, l'chora. Now, if it's a din in tzedakah, l'chora aniyei ircha kodmin. If it's a din in a mass, it's not that aniyei ircha kodmin, it's that the chiyuv is only for aniyei ircha. Rav Shapta points out, what's this din of aniyei ircha kodmin that we have by tzedakah? We have by tzedakah that you give to your family first. There's a whole hierarchy of priorities in tzedakah. I think Rabbi Daniel Feldman has an article about it in one of his phenomenal English svarim. You should know that his Hebrew svarim are very good. His English svarim, you shouldn't say, it's English. That's what yeshivas say. It's really good. His stuff is unbelievable. If you don't have both of his English svarim, buy them. The Right and the Good, and I forgot what the other one is called, is even better, the second one. I forgot what it's called. What? Divine Footsteps. Yeah, it's even better than the first one. It's unbelievable. So he told me Divine Footsteps didn't sell as well as The Right and the Good. It's a plea atzuma. I don't know. Everyone should buy it and tell everyone else to buy it. So the totally lost my train of thought. Yeah, he has an article about priorities in tzedakah, about who you give to first. So what does that mean? So if they're aniyei ircha, so I should give all my tzedakah to aniyei ircha? And Yerucha Kodman. So Shapter quotes from somewhere, I forget what he said, maybe a Pischei Tshuva or something, that says that it means that you give 3/4 of the money to the higher priority, and then 25% of the money to the next priority. So if the halacha is that Aniyei Ircha come before Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, so you give 75% of your money to Aniyei Ircha, and then of the next 25%, you would give 75% of that to Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, and then the other 25% to Aniyei Sharma Kabbalos. But there is a mitzvah to give outside of Aniyei Ircha. Shachter also points out Aniyei Ircha is lav dafka geographical. It doesn't necessarily mean Ircha. I learned in Yeshiva Keren B'Yavna. So if Keren B'Yavna comes asking me for money, they're in a tough spot because a lot of the alumni are going to Chinuch. So going to Rabbanus and Chinuch. But if they come asking me for money, so I would have a special achrayus for them more than I would maybe for a yeshiva that's 2 blocks away from me that I have no shaychus with whatsoever. It's not only about ircha, it's about that which was mashpia on you the most. But if it's a din in a mass, it's not just a din on ircha kodmin that you prioritize at 75%. That's the whole din. The whole din is to only give within the city, if it's a din of kimcha de pischa, a din in a mass, which is very interesting. It would turn out that many people, when they collect kimcha de pischa, myself included, we like to give taniyah Eretz Yisrael, even though there are aniyim in America, but the level of poverty of aniyah Eretz Yisrael is an entirely different madrega than the level of poverty often by aniyim in aniyah ircha, aniyah five towns. It's a little bit of a different level of, very much a different level of poverty, and you feel like you want to give there, but it may be against the halacha, depending on what the nature of this mitzvah of kimcha de pischa is. There's a third possibility. So again, we either have it's a din in yoredeya, a din in tzedakah, or it's a din in chashem mishpat, a din in a tax. There's a third possibility. What's the third possibility? But based on what? What's the nekuda? What's the underlying nekuda? The third possibility, I think it's muchach this way in the Rambam, is it's a din in Simchas Yantif. The Kimcha de Pischa is a din, it's a minig based in Simchas Yantif. The Rambam writes, in the Rambam in the Hilchas Yantif, Perek Vav, the Rambam writes, Shivas Yimei HaPesach U'Shmonos Yimei HaChag Im Shar Yom Tovim Kulam. On the 7 days of Pesach, the 8 days of Sukkot, and the other Yom Tov, you can't do Hesped, you can't do Tainis. V'chayuv Adam Lios Ben Sameach V'Tov Lev. And a person has to be sameach v'tov lev. Who ubanav v'ishto b'nei v'esov v'kolanil v'melav. First of all, the lashon of the Rambam is fascinating. I would have said, if I was writing the Rambam, I would have said that everyone is chayiv to be misameach to have simcha. Who's everyone? Everyone's chayiv to have simcha. Meaning chayiv kol adam bein ish bein isha bein katan gadol to have a sense of simcha. That's not what the Rambam says. Rambam says, Chayiv Adam Lios ben Samech v'tov lev. And Adam is chayiv to be Samech v'tov lev. Who? He himself, and he's the subject over here. And Bana v'ishto b'nei b'esov kolanil v'malav. And anyone that's associated with him. Doesn't sound like he's describing a chayiv on the children, or a chayiv on the women. It sounds like what he's describing is a chiyuv on the man to have simcha. How does a man have simcha? By making sure that when you sit down at the table on Yantiv, that there aren't a bunch of frowns around the table, because then you're not going to be happy. You know, there's a mirror effect, I think it's called in psychology. That, you ever try this? If you go to someone and greet them with a pout, they're not going to smile at you. But you greet them with a smile on your face, they smile at you. Because people, they mirror what you do. They mirror your emotions. So when you smile at someone, they smile back at you. So the Rambam says, if you want to feel simcha, you need everybody around you in your vicinity to feel simcha. So what do? Make your wife happy, make your kids happy, give candies, give clothing, whatever is going to make everyone happy. Nowadays, in a lot of communities, the clothing make the men happy, some for some reason. So whatever is going to make everybody happy. Whatever the standards are that make people happy, make everyone around you happy, and that will be your kiyum of simcha. But then the Rambam goes on to say, and that's what he says, yesh b'chlal osa simcha, that simcha includes lismach, hu, ubanav, ubnei beso, kalachar v'achar karoylo. Osa simcha, your chiyuv simcha includes a chiyuv to be mesameach other people. Why? Not because they have a chiyuv of simcha, but because you have a chiyuv of simcha. And the only way to fulfill it is by being mesameach other people. And he says, ketzad, how do you do this? So he describes, you give katan candies, you give women tachshitim, men eat meat and drink wine, in some chal basar, in some chal biyayin. And then the very next line in the Rambam, ukeshu ochel v'shoseh chayiv lahachil lager liyasum l'almana im shara niyim amlolim, avol misha noel dulosos chatzera v'ochel v'shoseh u'banavishto v'enamach l'mashkal aniyim l'mari nefesh, ein zu simchas mitzvah l'simchas kreso. Rambam says, if your simcha is limited to inside your own home, and you are not providing for other people, you aren't experiencing the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. It's Simchas Kreso, it's a different type of simcha, it's not Simchas Yom Tov. Simchas Yom Tov is only if you're sharing with others. So it could be the idea of giving to others, in the view of the Rambam, is not a kiyum of tzedakah per se, it's not a kiyum of a mass, some sort of tax on the community, it's a kiyum of the mitzvah of simcha. You know, the Gra, in Pnina Mishulchan HaGra, Pasuk says, Shivas Yamin Tochel Matzos V'yom Eshvi Chag LaHashem Matzos Ye'ochel Shivas Yamin. It's a little bit repetitive. Pasuk starts, Shivas Yamin Tochel Matzos. Eat Matzos for 7 days, and then V'yom Eshvi Chag LaHashem Matzos Ye'ochel as Shivas Yamin. Make sure you eat Matzos for 7 days. So I ask the Gra 3 questions. Why does it say twice? That's Aleph. Beis. First it says Tochel, then Ye'ochel in the Nifal. So which is it? Is it the Poel or the Nifal? Third, he says, Gimel. Matzos, the first Matzos, it says, is Chasr Vav. The second one is Male. Matzos is spelled Memsadi Tav, and then the second time it's Memsadi Vav Tav. Says the Gra. It's a remez to the minute quarter in the Ramah of Moos Chitim. How is it a remez to Moos Chitim? So says the Gra. It's based on Yerushalmi, of course, in Bab Basri. He says, Perishonet Tziva Lekalechon Miyisrael Alechilas Matzah BePesach. First, you have your mitzvah of Matzah. Shivas Yomim Tochal Matzos. Meaning, you yourself have your chiyuv. But aside from your own chiyuv of matzah, you have to see that matzos yeyachel, as Shivas Hayamim. Make sure other people are eating matzah for 7 days as well. Yeyachel al yedei acherim ha'aniyim. That's the nifal. Make sure that other people see to it, that other people are eating matzah. And he says, that's why, when it says the first time, he says the first time it says matzahs, the first matzahs is chaser, because for yourself, you could be mitzamtzim. Make sure kazai is kibetz, so you can get, you know, a shir mitzumtzum. But for others, you have to be overly generous. For others, matzos mole. You give as much as you possibly can. So vart from the gra. So, but that's that assumes that this is all a din in your own simchas yantif. That if you want to fulfill your mitzvah, you need to help others fulfill theirs. So what a nafka mean is whether you have 3 possibilities: a yardeya din in tzedakah, a chashamishpa din in namas, or a chayim din in simchas yantif. So what would nafka minas be? How long do we have? What time should I finish? Yeah, it's fine, whatever time I can stop now, you tell me whenever, it's fine. So I'll just, okay, we'll mention a couple of nafka minas. One nafka mina might be, the Ramah says that the minig is to give chitim for Pesach. You ever give chitim to anyone for Pesach? What do? We give a check, or we give money, cash or a check. Are you yotzei, the minig, in that way? So it may depend on what the mitzvah is. If it's tzedakah, adrava, it's better. You ask the poor guy, what do you want? You want some wheat or you want some cash? He'll take the cash every time. They'll be very happy with the cash. If it's a specific mass, though, there are taxes on certain things, and the taxes can be as specific as they make them. And if the mas was a tax to give this, to give wheat, so then maybe it's only then giving wheat. Obviously, if it's a mitzvah of simcha, so one could argue also that with money, you're making the mitzvah of simcha as well, that you feel better when you're giving to someone else. It may be called the Chukas HaPesach. The Sefer Chukas HaPesach says that that's why the Ramah calls it a minhag. He says, why does he call it a minhag? Yerushalmi says it's a din. So why does the Ramah call it a minhag? He says, no, what he means is it's a minhag to give wheat. But in a chinam, you could have been yotzei giving money also. You give wheat is more, this way the ani doesn't have to think about where am I going to find wheat to buy, just give him wheat and he'll be able to have that. Another possible nafkamina, the Ramah writes in Reishon and Aleph in Yoredeya, that if you don't have kidei parnasasa, you don't have to give tzedakah. If you don't have enough for your own parnasa, you don't have to give tzedakah. For your own Shabbos and Yontif meals, the Gemara in Beit Zadav Tezvav and Beis says that if you don't have money on hand right now for your own mitzvos hayom, you have to borrow money. That's if you're not going to be able to pay back later. But let's say you just got a job, you've been unemployed, and you just got a job, so you know that money's coming in. You know that you can be able to pay back later. Should you have a tuna fish sandwich on Shabbos, or should you borrow money to make a nice Shabbos? It says in Gemara, borrow money to make a nice Shabbos. Because you know that you're going to be able to pay back. If you don't know that you're going to be able to pay back, just have a tuna fish sandwich. But if you know, I don't know why I'm picking on tuna fish. Tuna fish is delicious. But have a weekday meal. But if you know that you can have money to pay back, borrow, and then you'll pay back later. That's what the Gemara says, Beit Zadav Tezvav and Beis. So if it's a din in tzedakah, you don't have to borrow to give tzedakah. If you don't have kedei parnasaso, you don't have to give tzedakah. You're part from tzedakah. But if it's a din in your own mitzvah, simchas yantif, so for your own Simchas Yantif, the Gemara says beferish you do have to borrow. And if one cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yantif without giving to somebody else, and he knows that he'll be able to afford it later to pay it back, so maybe he should have to borrow. For Kimcha Debischai, actually, I was asked that shayla. You believe the Mikam Chay Yisrael? A guy was out of a job for a long time, and he just got a job. He's not raking it in, but he's making ends meet just barely. And he said, you know, he's on tuition assistance this year for his kids, and he said, what should I do about Kimcha de Pischa? I could borrow against funds that I know will be coming in. Should I do that for Kimcha de Pischa? How many people take Kimcha de Pischa that seriously? I mean, what do I have to do, Rabbi? $5? Is that okay? Is that good? What do you answer? You know, like, we don't impose taxes, but some people are extraordinarily generous, and they'll just give. It's an important thing. When we talk about in psychology, there's a great book. If you ever want a good Musar book that you're not allowed to read in the base manager, probably, but a really good Musar book, there's a great book written by a man named Adam Grant called Give and Take. Anyone into like these kinds of books here? Am I the only one? It's the best one out there. If you ever read like Gladwell and all this stuff, you're into like all this pop psychology stuff, by far, this is better than what? Give and Take, yeah. It's amazing. And he has a lot of very important Yesodos about giving, about the importance of being a giver and how nice guys don't finish last. In the short run, he says, is one of his nekudos is that nice guys do finish last if it's a sprint, but in a marathon, nice guys finish first. It's a very, very important nekuda, because of course nice guys will finish last in the short term. You're always giving of yourself and you're not taking care of yourself, you're taking care of everyone else, so of course you're going to be a shmata at the end. But if everyone knows that you're a giver, then everyone's going to see to it that you're taken care of also, in the long run. And that's always the way it works. They have like these exams that they gave medical students that are personality profiles, where they're able to profile them. Are they a giver, a taker, or what they call, he calls it something else, I call it a scorekeeper. You know, the kind of people that will invite you to their house only as many times as you invited them. You know, they're always keeping score, exactly who. So there's three types of people. They found that they did it on medical students in like Belgium or something, where they found that the medical they wanted to try to prove that givers, nice guys, finish first. So they checked they did these personality profiles, and then they checked the bottom 10% of all the medical students in the whole school, like who's doing the worst in the whole school. And you know who they found is doing the worst? The givers. And they're like, oh man, this stinks. This is terrible. This is like, what's the point of all this? And then they said, you know, on a whim, let's check the top 10%. And you know who they found the top 10% is? The givers. They said, well, what's going on over here? The scorekeepers and the takers were all in the middle somewhere. And they realized that the givers on the bottom 10% were all first-year students, or disproportionately first-year students. The givers in the top 10% were disproportionately, it was like a 6 or 7 year program, 6th and 7th year students. because once you develop that reputation, everyone wants to help you out, everyone wants to be, and there's like, it creates the sense of achrayus. Phenomenal book. Anyway, but one of the things he says is that there's people often compliment people who are selfless. Selfless is not a good thing to be. He says selfish is not a good thing to be either. He likes to use the term otherish. It's not selfless, because if you have no sense of self, then forget it. Then you're going to be the guy who owns the supermarket for a month because you gave everything away and now you don't own the supermarket anymore. Now you can't give anybody anything anymore. But you have to be otherish. You have to emphasize others over oneself. And that's the din of simcha. The din of simcha is not to not have anything for yourself. It's to have for yourself. But it's to emphasize others first. It's what that girl was saying. The matzos malei is what you give to others. But make sure you have matzos chaser at least. Make sure you at least have your kazayis, your kibetz, so that you have something. Another nafkamina might be, in this discussion, is there a mile of matan besesa? By tzedakah, it's a very great maila, matan b'seser. But by simcha, maybe not. By amas, who says amas has to be a matan b'seser? Maybe it doesn't have to be a matan b'seser at all. So that's also another nafkamina might be whether Talmid HaChachamim are obligated. Shulchan Aruch writes in Chosha Mishpat, Kuf Samach Gimel, Sif Hei, when he talks about all the taxes that people are obligated in. So Shulchan Aruch writes that Talmid HaChachamim paturim imas. They're patur from all the taxes. They have what they call parsonage. They don't have to pay the taxes because having them in the community is such a boon to the community that they're already just by being there, they're already providing for the community. If you have an emes tikka talmid chacham, so maybe that would be a nafkamina in all of this. There are several, just to close with one idea. There are lots of other nafkaminas you can suggest, but one point to make. There is a similar discussion by another halacha that comes up about a month earlier also, and that's by Matanos Lev Yonin. It's a similar discussion. What's the nature of the mitzvah of Matanos Lev Yonin? The Shulchan Aruch and Tafresh Sadal Tzivalf and the Tazov there, Sivkan Alf, quote from the Taz quotes from the Bach, that even an Ani is chayv Matanos Lev Yonin. So what does that tell you about Matanos Lev Yonin? It doesn't sound like it's a din in tzedakah, if even an Ani is chayv to give Matanos Lev Yonin. The Bach clearly assumes it's not midin tzedakah, it's a din in a mitzvah sayom of Purim, but what is the nature of that mitzvah sayom? So it's probably a din in simchas Purim. In order for a person to feel simcha, he needs to feel that he's providing for somebody else. I always thought that was the halacha, you know, that kol mi shaposhet yado in Purim. Anyone who sticks out his hand, you have to give him on Purim. You know why? Because you have to be besimcha in Purim. What's the most uncomfortable interaction you ever have with somebody? Where they say, can you spare some change? Can you give me something? You say, sorry buddy, I don't have. Or you hate that. It makes you feel icky. No one wants it. So kol mi shaposhet yado, give him. Because when you give him, you're besimcha, not to be besimechim, to give yourself a certain sense of simcha. That's the mitzvah of matanos lev yonim, perhaps. That's the nature of the mitzvah. And the Rambam clearly assumes that way. In the second paragraph of Hilchos Megillah, Halacha Yudzayin, clearly assumes it's a din in simcha. It's Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham said, don't give, in Tavrei Sadal, he said, don't give matanos lev yonim before Purim. Why? Because the Ani might use it before Purim comes, and that's going to be a problem. So if the Ani is going to use it on Purim, and I somehow have a guarantee that he's going to use it on Purim, then I can give it before Purim. But if it's a mitzvah sayom of Purim, why am I allowed to do it beforehand? Why am I allowed to send it beforehand if it's a mitzvah sayom of Purim? Apparently the simcha of knowing that you've provided someone, that on Purim you know that someone is benefiting from what you gave, that's the simcha. It's not the maisa of giving. It's not about doing a tzedakah today. It's about knowing that you've provided someone with something. So I think you don't have to search hard to find a message from this topic of Mos Chitim, that whether it's a din in tzedakah, whether it's a din in a mas, whether it's a din in a mitzvah of simcha, it's certainly critical. It sets the tone for Pesach. It sets the tone for what it means to be a Jew, that Jews take care of each other, Jews give to each other. We become givers over the course of time, and that's how we set the tone, and we take care. Kol dichvin yesev yechol, kol ditzrich yesev yifsach. We should always be zocha to have the opportunity and the ability to give as much as we can to other Jews, and thereby fulfill not just Mos Chitim, but all of the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Behidur Gamu.